The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionix, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the social studio.
Thank you for downloading the weekly podcast from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Trevor Dan, delighted to be joined from New South Wales, from Sydney, Australia, by the chairman of Oxis Media, by the chief digital officer of Seven West Media. It's Clive Dickens. Clive, how the hell are you?
I'm great, Trevor. Thank you very much. Great to be here. How are you?
Well, I'm very well, and it's lovely to hear from you. When we last met, you were working for Austereo. So I know we're really here to talk about Jack FM and the UK and Europe, but what is it you're doing now? What is Seven West Media?
Seven West Media is Australia's largest media company. We own a whole range of diversified assets, from the largest free-to-air television network, you know, the ITV of Australia, if you like, where we produce hundreds of hours of our own original content, including scripted drama, soap operas, news, sports. For example, we own the worldwide franchise Home and Away. That's our brand. Border security, you might see in the UK. We've got a product, programs on the BBC called No Place Like Home, which is a daytime drama. And then we have sports codes like the Olympics that we own exclusively for Australia. And then the other parts of our business, that we own a large daily newspaper business. We own the second biggest magazine company. We own 50% of everything that Yahoo do here in Australia and New Zealand. So that includes Tumblr, Flurry, Flickr, and obviously all of the Yahoo products. And we also own a small but growing radio group. But ironically, my responsibilities on this occasion don't include radio, and I look after all of the digital aspects of the company.
Well, I suppose that's what I was going to ask you about just before we talk about Jack. Do you miss, you know, a day-to-day hands-on role with radio whilst you're in Australia?
Well, when I moved to SCA, Southern Cross Austereo, I wasn't working in the core content business either, so that was 2 years ago. I sort of wanted to move into more into a digital role, and really the hybrid of content and digital, which has very much been my career. So I very much decided that I was a content and digital person. And even when founding Absolute Radio, I didn't consider myself to be a radio person. I was, you know, great lengths to point out that it was a audio and content brand with radio at its core. So for being around, I don't believe I've been solely a radio person since I left Capital, really. Involved in lots of businesses over the last 10 or 15 years. It just happens that in this new large media company, I'm now working across content and technology across so many verticals, and the radio part of our business is now the smallest part of our business. So I miss certain elements of it because you never get it out of your blood, but I'm loving all of the new experiences I'm getting.
Clive, do you think that you can be a radio person anymore? Is it something that you can concentrate on, and is it a niche role that any of us can have, or do we have to think of ourselves as content creators, multi-platform?
Well, it's a great point. I mean, there's a couple of things. First of all, we are all in the business of creating content and stories and monetizing those stories through technology. Whether you're telling that story predominantly via a picture or via video or via audio, live or on demand. It's storytelling, really. It's all about storytelling. And whether it's news stories or emotional stories or, you know, just information-based stories. So we're really obviously all just storytellers. We use the distribution methods in front of us to communicate those stories. Audio is an incredibly powerful way to tell stories, but it can be consumed whilst doing something else. But so is video as well. So radio companies have become visualized over the last 20 years with online, and there's more and more discussion around how to visualize audio. So I don't think that we should limit ourselves to the method of distribution. We should only define ourselves by the quality of stories. Now, the word radio, though, is a very powerful word that means, probably means lean back and enjoy something that you predominantly hear. And therefore, what are the environments where I lean back, enjoy something where I probably will hear it? Well, then we think about the environments where radio does very well, like the car. So that's why, for example, brands like iTunes Radio, Pandora Radio, Spotify Radio have co-opted that word, not because they are or they aren't radio. definitely not keen to get in that debate about whether they are radio. You know, no one can define what radio is. It's just how it makes you feel and the stories you tell. But it's now increasingly, when I talk to my colleagues here at Seven West Media about the growth in radio over the next 10 years, then it's going to be around those environments where you can't look at something, where you have to hear something and you have to listen to something. And therefore, it's more now, in my opinion, defined by the environment that you are in when you're hearing or telling that story, rather than FM, AM, DAB, DAB+, IP, DRM, or any other, or RSS, or whatever, any other distribution method that we may use to get our stories out there.
I was just thinking, if you came back to the UK and were magicked into a job at the BBC, you might be the person saying, do you know what? You've got to abolish these distribution silos. You've got to stop thinking in terms of these guys do telly and these guys do radio and these guys do websites. It's all really the same thing. Would that be right?
Absolutely. And look, when I worked at SCA, 40% of our business was television and 60% of radio. And I loved them 2 years at SCA because it allowed me to understand more about the operations of television. Now I work in a television company where 70% of our business is television and 30% is everything else. But really, I'm not working in a television company. I'm working in a storytelling company. We just use all the distribution assets available to us, from social through to IP, from broadcast through to, you know, peer-to-peer, if you like, then to tell our stories. So I absolutely would be saying that any business, not just the BBC, should reduce its reliance on its vertical distribution and stop operating around those single silos and start thinking about the environment of which a consumer is hearing or understanding or experiencing the stories.
So back to the UK and to Oxis Media. You're the chairman. We know Donna, who you worked with at Absolute, and we know Ian Walker, and there's one or two others involved. You've bought the franchise called Jack from Sparknet, who developed it in Canada. This has meant, as far as UK listeners are concerned, that instead of quite a lot of Jack stations, we've got, what, two or three left now, because the Celador Jacks have become Sam, and we know the Hertfordshire Jack became Bob. What's the strategy for you? Is Jack something you want to own so you can spread it all around the UK and Europe?
Well, first of all, it was we took the idea of bringing the Jack brand to Europe, to Sparknet, around about 10 years ago. And Gary Wall and Pat Bono, the founders of the brand, I remember specifically sitting down with them, I think in a hotel in Italy, back in an old NAB, saying we'd really like to work with your brand here. 10 years ago, we said, well, you know, we'd love to own the brand. And obviously the brand wasn't for sale. So the conversation started, and it's been a very happy 10 years. And 10 years later, Pat and Gary were very happy to sell the brand to us for Europe. And one of the reasons that we bought the brand, or two big reasons, first and foremost, is that we feel it is a brand, not a radio station name. So back to what I said earlier, is that we have very big ambitions to make it a brand in more and more territories and more and more categories. So you should expect over the coming years to see the Jack brand move beyond audio. And to do that, we have a very strong vision for that brand, and therefore we needed to own that. Secondly, was in the relation to the radio licensing brand. Now, we increasingly want to own or co-own all of the environments where the brand exists, so we can influence and grow our business and the brand. And therefore, licensing the brand on a pure licensing basis, we are less likely to do that in the future. And of course, you know, for those licensees, it's their business, and they obviously made their decisions to go and operate under their own brand.
Forgive me asking you this, Clive, but you're a man who understands business and you've made a bob or two in your time. Is this a financial play? Is this about making some money, or is this about genuinely providing some new quality material on whatever platforms you find, Jack?
Well, surely can't it be both? It's absolutely about both. The, you know, I've been involved in media and specifically audio and more specifically radio for over 35 years. I've had a fantastic career to date in those areas, but it's never solely been about how much money I could earn. I'm sure, if, you know, I know it isn't based on looking at my bank account and looking at the money that other people can have generated for themselves outside of media. So it's always been for a passion for telling stories and creating great products, creating brands, and hopefully creating some value out of the back of that.
You know, I was looking through, though, if I may interrupt, I was looking through the comments at the bottom of one of the Radio Today stories about Jack, and somebody has used a phrase which is soulless automated jukebox. And there is a feeling, isn't there, and you must be aware of this, that people like you grew up wanting DJs and personalities and all that kind of slightly free-form stuff that we thought about in the 70s and 80s. You've sort of been reduced to this jukebox syndicated format. How do you feel about that?
You know, those people just haven't listened to Jack. You know, Jack FM in Oxfordshire is one of the most highly awarded radio stations in the UK, not for its segues or its jukebox stars, it's for its personality. Whether that's Trevor Marshall, who has won Personality of the Year for local radio more than any other personality in the last 5 years, whether it's for the character and the creativity of the Paul Darrow brand values that come through on Jack, whether it's for the news service we operate out of, everything from the floods or to Afghanistan. It's a I don't think the Radio Today comments board is a barometer of how people view the world. Now, whether it's the work that we did at Absolute Radio, people know that that was just as much about the creativity of that brand as it was the financial performance of that business, and possibly arguably more about the creativity of that brand. So I completely refute the suggestion that this is about dumbing down. What we have done with that model is focus on the important things. So the simple model when we started it 7 years ago was every radio station divided its funds across maybe 10 or 12 hours of the day, and that meant that you got three or four relatively average storytellers. Now, we said no. Our research indicated that the 30, 40-something male audience didn't want that. They wouldn't put up with that type of cookie-cutter radio that existed, and there's plenty of local radio companies that still do that. They wanted to have a quality sports service, a quality news service, and a quality breakfast show. So you took all of the investment that you would be spending between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. or 7 a.m. and 4 p.m., and pretty much invest that into a breakfast show, into a news service, and into sport content, and then put it in a distinctive brand and music wrapper. So it's not actually saved any money. It just means that we have a fantastic breakfast show, we have a quality news service, and we have a quality sports service. We have a distinctive music offering, and we have a strong brand values. Whereas if you go up and down the country and listen to sort of Market Town FM, you know, it doesn't have that strength of character. That's what we believe.
So where are we going to hear Jack on the radio in the UK in the future, apart from the places it is now?
Well, yeah, a couple of things we're most excited about is the brand extensions that we've created. So Jack 2 now is doing exceptionally well and growing even faster than the original Jack. That has given us some great confidence about the future. We would dearly love to create another disruptive, powerful national brand. And that would be our very medium-term ambition and of course, we have the opportunity online and via DAB and via DAB Plus to look at that opportunity next year. And having created a number of very loved brands in my career in the UK, I'm really excited about the opportunity to grow the next one into potential of another loved national brand as well. And you know, I've always been a strong supporter of all forms of digital radio. And if you go back to a podcast that I did, I think with Rory 2 years ago when I left the UK and talked about what I think would happen in the next 2 years, particularly around digital radio, most if not of those predictions have come true, and it's the UK radio's digital climate is thriving, and we would love Jack to be at the centre of that.
Just finally, Clive, I know that you must be very busy. You've probably got a surfboard to wax and and a shrimp to throw on the barbie. But just while I've got you, when do we see you back in the UK? Is Australia now where you live, or is it still a break and you're eventually going to think about coming home?
Well, I made a commitment to be in Australia for 5 years. I've done 2 years of those five, and I very much wanted to get a different type of experiences around content. But I'm frequently back in the UK. I'm loving my role as the non-executive chairman of Oxys. Oxys is a growing consultancy business as well. One of the businesses that we're working with is a fantastic business called Omni, which was a breakout star hit at Radio Days this year in Italy, Omni.com and Omni Studio. So we're very much still involved in the UK on a day-to-day basis. I attend weekly management meetings virtually and board meetings at least quarterly. As for living back in the UK, there are no plans to live back in the UK. At the moment, I'm enjoying the adventure that my wife and my family and I are having on this side of the world. But, you know, your home is where your heart is and all of that. And who knows what the next 3 years brings. But at the moment, I'm loving being here.
Well, it's lovely to talk to you, Clive. Thanks very much for giving up so much time. We wish you all the best. That was Clive Dickens talking to us from Sydney. Ta-da, Clive.
See you, Trevor.
And let's have some news now from Roy.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Thank you, Trevor, and thank you, Clive, as well. Thanks for coming on the show. Radio Player has officially launched in Ireland. Irish Radio Player combines all the radio stations in Ireland, all 43 of them, on one single app. It's now available on Google Play and on the App Store, and even works on your smartwatch if you've been lucky enough to get one. Bauer Media has been splashing the cash this week with the purchase of a bunch of radio stations in Sweden, Denmark, Norway and Finland. Does this mean Bauer is wanting to buy more in the UK as well? Watch this space. And there's a new UKRD radio station streaming online. The team at Wessex FM has launched a radio station for the local youngsters called WessexBeats.com. Does exactly what it says on the tin. That's the very latest with a slightly croaky voice. I'm Roy Martin.
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, Newsboss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
Radio Moments. We start this week in 1978, and the second ever Radio 1 breakfast presenter hosted his last early show.
Oh, the things we've had in here over the past 5 years, amazing. Oh, well, at least you'll find it all nice and clean and tidy. 7:30 to 9, it's terrible with farewells. I've always been shocking at saying goodbye. Well, Gloria knows the problem. I never can
say goodbye. From 37 years ago, the last Noel Edmonds Radio 1 breakfast show he'd taken over from Tony Blackburn. Absolute Radio began life under the Virgin brand, and it all began this week 22 years ago.
Well, the radio revolution is about to happen. I'm very excited. In fact, the whole of my body is very excited at this moment. I'm going to have a quick cold shower. It is officially midday, and Richard Branson will officially launch Virgin 1215, the UK's new national radio station, in exactly 15 minutes.
10 minutes and counting to the radio revolution.
It's 12:15 on Friday, April 30th, 1993. A date which will go down, we hope, in broadcasting history. I'm Richard Branson, and this is the radio station I've always wanted to hear. I hope you'll find it the station you too have always wanted to hear.
The launch of Virgin, Britain's second national commercial radio station. It was this week in 93, and Virgin assumed the old Radio 3 and Radio 1 medium wave frequencies. There was no FM at launch. 1st of May 1965 saw the name BBC World Service appear on air for the first time.
This is London.
This is the BBC World Service.
BBC World Service.
The new name was adopted this week 50 years ago by what had been the General Overseas Service.
This is the General Overseas Service of the BBC.
broadcasting to the Far East, the Middle East, the Near East, the African continent, North and South
92
America.
Years ago this week, the BBC was busy at Savoy Hill, opening its new premises.
This is London calling. Now tonight, our chairman, Lord Gainford, is going to speak to you on this, the occasion of the opening of our new studio at 2 Savoy Hill, London.
As chairman of the British Broadcasting Company and on the occasion of the opening of our new London studio, I am glad to have the opportunity of saying a few words to our many thousands of listeners in throughout the country.
Memories of 1923 and the opening of Savoy Hill, where a sedate BBC lived until its move to Broadcasting House. The corporation's first soap was on radio, of course, and it ended this week in 1969.
Mrs. Dale's Diary, a recording of the daily happenings in the life of a doctor's wife.
I've been very lazy over the weekend and haven't made a single entry in my diary since Friday.
Well, buck your ideas up. The end of the first proper BBC soap, Mrs. Dale's Diary, this week, 46 years ago. And that same week, this new soap began on Radio 2.
Of course, not many of the inhabitants are Londoners by birth. Most have come from all corners of the country to live and work here. Like the girl who's just stepped out of the taxi in this, the first episode called Moving Pictures.
Keep the change.
Oh, thank you, miss. Must have been some party.
It was.
Wagoner's Walk, which began on Radio 2 this week in 69, it ran for 11 years. An old car showroom was converted to a radio station, which launched this week, 44 years ago.
This is BBC Radio Derby on 96.5 megahertz VHF, broadcasting to Derby, Derbyshire and South East Staffordshire.
The official launch of the East Midlands' third BBC local radio station this week in 1971. Let's eavesdrop now on an early Radio Derby programme.
Let's move on now to the lady at your side, who's just put her knitting away. You put your knitting away, Miss Beeston. Are you a little fed up of your knitting? I must explain that Miss Beeston will be 100 years old in October, and Miss Beeston also is a little bit hard of hearing.
I do know. I can't hear.
Let me speak a little louder to you then, yes. Because I've been told you were born in Tissington.
Yes, you've been told what?
That you were born in Tissington.
Oh, yes.
A far too brief excerpt from a programme on Radio Derby called Remember When.
In fact, Mrs. Kirk is 104 years old.
That's right.
Aren't you?
Yes.
And you used to live as a very young girl in Cheddesdon.
I did.
When it was probably all fields.
Yes.
And in 1982 this week, another BBC local signed on.
It's getting very near the moment we've all been waiting for here at the opening ceremony. I'm standing up on the platform on a veritable bank of flowers, looking across a very cheerful and crowded room. As somebody said to me earlier this morning, it looks as if half of Cambridgeshire is here, and certainly it's very nice to see some of the hundreds of contacts and friends that we've made over the last few months. They're all now looking expectantly at the platform, waiting for George Howard, chairman of the BBC, always a strong supporter of local radio, to officially declare the station open.
BBC Cambridgeshire launching 33 years ago. This week in 1926, John Reith interrupted the BBC's late-night dance music programme to announce the general strike had been called. It provoked one of the earliest fallouts between government and the corporation, as Reith insisted on a balanced viewpoint.
The time through which we are now passing is of exceptional character, and the present strike is of a nature quite unlike the many others which have preceded it. There is no moral justification for a general strike of this character. It is a direct challenge to a lawfully constituted authority and inflicts, without adequate reason, immense discomfort and injury on millions of our fellow countrymen.
Cardinal Bourne firmly on one side of the argument. So, with the death of Humphrey Lyttelton this week, 7 years ago.
The first round this week is round one.
DLT beginning Radio 1 Breakfast 37 years ago. The last drunken propaganda from Lord Haw-Haw 70 years ago.
And therefore I say to you, in these last words, you may not hear from me again.
And the first Heart Networking 8 years ago. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Interesting stuff from David Lloyd, as ever. Am I alone in thinking that too much BBC local radio still sounds like it did in those 47-year-old clips from Radio Derby? You can't say that about the BBC's networks, can you? Perhaps it's time for a bit of a change. Anyway, enough editorial from me. I'm off for a consultation with John Myers, tax advisor. See you next week.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.